Well, we're still camping at Revelation chapter 1, so if you want to open up your Bible and turn there, thank you, Jim, for reading those words for us. Can you imagine meeting Jesus? Imagine it, meeting Jesus. Is it difficult to imagine? It is for me. Whether it's the Jesus in the Gospels or the Jesus in Revelation or any part of Scripture, it's just kind of a stretch, just kind of a little bit difficult to really imagine it. But that's one value of Bible passages like the one we begin to look at today here in Revelation chapter 1. It describes a meeting between John and Jesus. I see an emphasis on John hearing things in verses 9 to 11, seeing things in verses 12 to 16, and feeling things in verses 17 to 20. Now, there's some overlap, of course, in these sections. It's kind of like a rainbow. You can say there's blue and there's green, but there's kind of a mix of the colors in the rainbow, and there's a bit of a mix here in these verses, but I think there's still enough distinction in these sections to help us think through and remember the Bible passage. Now, we didn't take any time to go through verses 1, 2, and 3. That's John's introduction to the book. You can review those. Gets us started in the whole book of Revelation and chapter 1 in particular. But we added four lessons to break down the wonderful greeting in verses 4 through 8. And I think it is a wonderful greeting for us to consider, chew on, nibble at, and try to get some nourishment from. And that brings us to the doorstep of the third division of Revelation chapter 1. Larger theme, as we've already said, John meets Jesus. Imagine it. And our first look at this is to understand that in this meeting, John hears Jesus. We're going to break down the study into where John hears Jesus, how he hears him, and why he hears Jesus. What's involved? Now remember, the idea of man hearing God, Father, Son, Spirit, is one of the loud and steady drumbeats of all of Scripture. It's kind of like the bass drum that just keeps pounding out that note. Go back to Genesis, early chapters. Finish up in Revelation, chapter 22, verse 18. We find this constant idea, hear, listen, hearing God, hearing Jesus. And we want to think about that today. So, first of all, where does John hear from Jesus? Where does John hear from Jesus? Verse 9 tells us John is on an island called Patmos. It's a few miles off the western coast of modern-day Turkey, where the Mediterranean and Aegean Seas meet. That may not mean much of anything to any of us. I've never been where those two seas meet and never been to the island, but that's where he was. This island would not make it on a list of the top 10 honeymoon destination spots or holiday spots or tourist spot. It's just not that kind of an island, or was not in this day. It's rugged, it's rocky, it's a prison, not a paradise for John. And Roman authorities sent John there as a punishment. They didn't send him there to have a pampered vacation time for a week or two or a few months. No pampering whatsoever. Now, eventually, he'll be freed to return to the city of Ephesus, but not until probably some months of exile on this rocky, lonely, probably, island. Now, of course, John does not say that he's a prisoner on Patmos Island. He never says that. I wonder if that has to do with his attitude, his spirit, his heart. But that is what and where he is. But I like the way that John seems to be more positive than negative. Would you be? Would you be more positive than negative on Patmos? We'll talk a little bit more about that. Twice John explains that his life is directly and intricately connected to Jesus Christ. Do you see it there, verse 9? I, John, both your brother and companion in the tribulation and kingdom and patience of Jesus Christ. The end of the verse, for the testimony of Jesus Christ. He says that's what it's all about here on this island. In the first half of the verse, John wants to relate to his readers in a special way. So he says, I want you to understand I'm in this with you and you're in this with me. He describes it in those several. He says, I'm your brother. I'm your companion, okay? This is the one writing to you. Companions in Christ in three ways. The middle word is kingdom. You see, he gives three words there. The middle one is kingdom, and tells us they are part of the kingdom of God. That has present, it has future aspects to it, but it's the kingdom. And John says, I'm in it, you're in it, believer, brother, companion, fellow one in this kingdom. We need to remember that. We find a lot of reasons going on for division among the people of God, the kingdom of God. And yet, John makes it a point here to say, come on, guys, we're in this together. We're fellow companions in what's going on. Well, what's going on? He says, well, there's this thing called tribulation. You see it there? Companion in the tribulation and kingdom. The kingdom is not just a bed of roses. The kingdom of God is not a place where we just leisurely float along in God's kingdom. No, there are winds. There are waves. There are struggles. There are problems in the kingdom. This word tribulation means pressure cooker living. It's the idea of compression. Did Daddy ever give you a bear hug? Did he ever really put the squeeze on? That's this word, tribulation. John says, this kingdom business can really put the squeeze on us as we try to live here. There's opposition to God's kingdom. There's opposition to King Jesus. So that's why John mentions the third area of patience. If you're going to be in the kingdom and you're going to be squeezed, you got to just kind of bear with it, bear up under it, hang on, keep in there with what's going on. It takes endurance. It takes determination to survive in this spiritual kingdom. If you don't want to try to endure, if you don't want patiently bear up under pressure cooker situations, maybe the kingdom's not for you. We've discovered that in our own lives, haven't we? That's why it's so precious a blessing for you and for me to know things like Philippians 4:13 says, I can do anything through Christ who strengthens me. Boy, I need strength. Strength in my mind, strength in my emotions, strength in my body. I need strength outside of my own. Why? I'm in the kingdom and there's a lot of pressure to be in the kingdom. John says, I'm here, you're here, here's what it's like. But I wonder, does John really know what he's talking about? Take a look at the last part of the verse there, 9, for the word of God and for the testimony of Jesus Christ. John explains the charges against him. He's being pressured by the government. Can we relate? Here's the basis for his prison sentence. Again, John points to his relationship to Jesus Christ here, doesn't he? John is serving time because he's serving God. God's in prison because he's a prisoner of Jesus Christ. a servant of Christ, a follower of Christ. He's teaching God's word. He's preaching God's word. That's what he means when he says, I'm here for the testimony of Jesus Christ, not Jesus' testimony. It's my testimony about him. And that's getting me in trouble. And it will. John is maybe rubbing elbows with criminals because of his faithful witness about the Savior, about Jesus Christ. John knows about having to patiently endure troubles that come to those who are part of God's kingdom. So what's our point here? John meets Jesus. That's what this passage is about. And first, John hears Jesus, but where is John? Maybe better way to put it, where is he not? Where is he not? When he hears Jesus, where is he not? He's not in a morning worship service with a congregation. He's not part of a small group deep in Bible study about the book of Isaiah. He's not on Zoom having a prayer meeting with some of the people of God. But he hears Jesus. How can you hear Jesus apart from all those things? He's a prisoner. He's separated from society. And worse, he's separated from Christian fellowship. 1 John chapter 1, verse 3 talks about the fact that I'm writing to you and saying this to you so that we can have fellowship. Fellowship was important to John the Apostle. He wanted that. He misses that. Everything would seem to ruin any opportunity. Now listen. Everything would seem to ruin any opportunity for exciting or edifying spiritual experiences for John. Oh, there's John out on that rugged, rocky island out there in the middle of nowhere. Boy, he's going to be dry spiritually. Boy, he's just going to have a real struggle out there. He'll never have any communication with Jesus. This is bad. This could lead to maximum discouragement here. And maybe you can identify with John. Now listen. Maybe there are times that you feel alone. You feel oppressed. You feel underappreciated or unappreciated. Even though you try to stand for the Word of God and the testimony of Jesus Christ, and you're all alone. Maybe you think in your experience that exciting fellowship with Jesus is unlikely. It's not possible now, not where I am in this circumstance. Maybe you're in a place that is just tough. Hard, bleak, hopeless in a variety of ways. And maybe your best efforts for God seem to go unrewarded. Maybe they even seem to be punished. I'm working for God. I'm enduring for the Lord. I'm one who is pressing on for the testimony of God. I'm just like John. I'm just in a different place. But amazingly, John meets Jesus. And he hears from Jesus. And I say maybe we can too. However bleak, however hopeless, however much of a struggle, whatever the battle is that you're in, whatever the pressure cooker, whatever endurance you have to keep looking to Jesus for. I just wonder. Maybe we can hear from Jesus too. So notice how John hears from Jesus. Point B then. How does John hear from Jesus? The opening line, at least for me, in verse number 10, is a little puzzling. It says, I was in the Spirit. And you can read and read and read and read until your eyes are ready to fall out, and you'll find all kinds of points of view and attitudes, and what is this? Well, it does not seem to be an experience that John urges his readers to seek. He doesn't say here, I was in the Spirit, and you need to get this too, whatever it means, and maybe we need to, but he doesn't say so. But it is something special for John so that he can bring Jesus' message to others. John calls it being in the Spirit. Should that be a capital S or small s? Is it John's Spirit? Is it the Spirit of God? Is it both? Three other times in the book of Revelation, John uses this same expression. And somehow it's a marvelous communication initiated by God's Spirit to John's Spirit. Something is going on here. Pressure cooker living, tribulation, difficulty, trying to be patient, all the efforts to be living out the testimony for Jesus Christ and not being appreciated for it. And John says, in the middle of all that, I met Jesus. I was in the Spirit. The Spirit of God was not controlled on Patmos. The Spirit of God was not under pressure. The Spirit of God was not having to endure. He just shows up. Is it a vision? Is it a trance? It seems that it's not a scene in the world around him that others could see if others were around. If people were sitting there, they wouldn't say, oh, here he goes, he's in the Spirit again. That doesn't seem to be the case. By some means, John is made aware of revelation from God. I mean, this is incredible here. Sitting on rocks, staring at the Aegean Sea, And he meets Jesus by the Spirit connecting with him. And this incorporates John's senses. He hears, he sees, he feels. And this all happens because of God. God comes to him. God comes only to him. On his lonely prison island, God comes. I wish John had written here, hallelujah. Now, the next phrase is interesting. John remembers that this event, as he wrote this book, took place on what he calls the Lord's Day, the only place in all of the Bible that we have this expression, the Lord's Day. We use it all the time, don't we? Different explanations, again, are given for this. It apparently, if nothing else, it's a special day for John. Somehow, he, in his schedule, in what's going on, he's able to mark out this day. This day is a day that John regards as the Lord's. Perhaps it was a worship day that John set aside in his prison schedule. Maybe it really was the first day of the week, the day that the Lord Jesus rose from the dead. He's in a communication here with the risen Lord, so maybe that's it. Even here in all of this, John maintains his relationship to his Savior. How can you do that in pressure cooker living? How can that happen when it seems like everything's closing in around you? How can you have this kind of determination? Well, remember, he's in the Spirit. He's connecting here with the Spirit of God. I wonder, was he praying? I wish I could listen in. I don't want to say I wish I were a fly on Patmos, but you'd like to hear, is he praying? Is he singing? I wonder if he's a monotone. I wonder if he's a bass. I wonder, you know, if he did sing, how does he sing? I can imagine him singing. I can imagine him reviewing Old Testament verses and meditating on them. We don't know exactly, but on this special spiritual day, he calls it the Lord's Day. There it was, marked out, set aside. I meet Jesus. Sounds to me like he's making an effort to meet Jesus. Some people say, I never have connection with the Lord. I never meet Jesus. Well, do you do what John did? Do you set aside the time? Do you make the effort? Are you determined? No matter what's going on in your life. You know what? It's possible to have wonderful spiritual experiences in the worst places under the worst conditions. And I'm afeard. Sometimes we don't believe that. I'm afraid sometimes we just say, oh, I don't feel good and this is terrible and I got to pound rocks again and whatever else I've got to do. And we're not looking for Jesus. That's good for all of us to remember. On your next bad day, I want you to call me up. Hope the line's open. Call me up. I'm having a bad day. And then I want you to say, and I'm hoping to meet Jesus on my bad day. I'm waiting here in this worst of all days to be in the Spirit, to have a connection with the Holy Spirit. I want Him to fill me. That's the kind of day to have. That's how John is hearing from Jesus. So, what does John tell us at the end of verse 10? He's about ready to hear. I heard behind me a loud voice as of a trumpet. That's what he hears. I like that word loud. You use it. If you ever say the word megaphone, mega, loud. Why do you use a megaphone to amplify the sound? He says, I heard this mega voice. And it's behind me. That intrigues me. How come it's behind him? Boy, God does things in a strange way sometimes, doesn't he? I mean, why not be in front of him? It's behind him. It's like it's coming up behind him. It's like sneaking in. But there's no sneaking here. It's like a trumpet. Something about this mega voice, about the sound of it, makes John think of a trumpet. Now, this probably does not mean that the voice sounded just like the tone of a trumpet. You see that word your translation may say as, it may say like. Oh, that's a word you've got to underline all the way through the book of Revelation. It's as, it's like. You know, John is just struggling, saying, I don't know exactly what it is, but let's see, the best I can do is it's like this. Like this. Like the tone of a trumpet. Perhaps it means that the voice that he hears is rich and clear and piercing and unmistakable. John has no doubt that someone is speaking to him in language he understands, and in a way that he can't miss. John realizes that he is being addressed in this loud, clear voice. Aren't you a little jealous? I mean, I sometimes just say to the Lord, Lord, just say it out loud. I don't know what you want me to do. Would you just say it so I don't have to go on a scavenger hunt trying to find out what you want me to do? Now, I want to say that I don't think that we should begin to look for prophetic trances or visions during our times of private worship on our bad day. I don't think we should be in the bad day and, you know, just say, well, where's the trance, Lord? I'm ready. give me a trance, a vision, a something. That's not what this is teaching. This is unique to John. But it does tell us that God can bless those who faithfully continue on for Him, even everything when everything seems to be a dead end. Maybe it's a cul-de-sac. Maybe God just wants to turn you around to get back over here, but it seems like a dead end, maybe, and we're learning here, I believe, God can speak to us, probably not like a trumpet behind us, but through the Bible. Through the Bible. That's His voice to us today. Through fellow Christians who share with us the Bible. All of the ways and means that we have of hearing the Word of God. You can start here in chapter 2 in the end of each one of the letters to the seven churches. He that has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit of God says to you. Go all the way to the end of the book of Revelation and it says, anybody who hears this, don't change a word of it. Listen. Are you listening for the Lord? The Lord Himself said, didn't He, John 10, my sheep hear my voice. They know me. They know when I'm communicating to them. But why does John meet Jesus and hear Jesus? That's our last point, C. What does John hear from Jesus? Can you pick it out right in the middle of verse 11 to help support what we just said? It says, what you see, write in a book and send it to the seven churches. The one speaking commands John, write it down, put a stamp on it, and send it to the churches. Seven congregations which are named. Now there's a clue here, isn't there? We've just said it, to how we hear. It's written down in a book. That's how we hear. We don't get in our bad days and climb a tree and say, I'm listening. We don't try 1,001 other things. We go to the Bible. We go to the book. It's written down. There are going to be 11 more times that John is told, write what's revealed to you. Write it down. Write it down. Write it down. How foolish for me to ever say, I never hear from Jesus. Well, when's the last time you read your Bible? If we read on in the text, it becomes clear Jesus is the one Himself who's instructing John here. It's important to Jesus that John get this mail through. Donna and I sometimes are watching when the mailman comes. And we get a little disturbed when he goes to 249 Hanover Street and cuts at a diagonal and never comes to our place. No mail. Not even a brochure from the Subaru place. Nothing. Do you ever feel upset that you get no mail from Jesus? You've got mail. Each church group is to receive the same information. He says that here. We'll note that. They all can benefit. That helps us to remember that none of this book of Scripture is from John's mind and imagination. He's not the one who dreamed up all these incredible scenes and beasts and all the rest of it. No, 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 no. He's writing down. Because Jesus said, what you see, write it down. Put it in a book. Churches need this information. Reformed Baptist Church of Lewisburg needs this information that is immediately to come. Seven letters from the courts of heaven to local churches. I wonder why. Specific from Jesus. In fact, In Jesus' own words, he's speaking. Must be important for churches. It's important that we pick up our mail regularly and read it. Well, the first point about this meeting between John and Jesus is that John hears him. And that tells me John is listening. John's waiting to hear something. You mean even out on that island? Why would anybody even think of listening for God on that place? John is telling us, I don't care where you are. You listen. You want to meet Jesus? Anybody here want to meet Jesus? You want to connect with him? Really? You want to hear from him? Are you listening? Are we, RBC, as a congregation, listening? No matter how hard and harsh your situation may be in life, listen for Jesus' voice, especially through his word. He speaks clearly. His sheep know his voice, as we've said, when he speaks. I wonder what he wants to say to you. I wonder what he wants to say to me. I wonder, what's he want to say to us? Does he have something for us to know about him or to do for him? You ever hear that expression? I think truckers use it. I don't know who else. Do you have your ears on? It doesn't mean these things. It means the receptivity. Are you listening? You have your ears on. You really can't get to the next 2 points with all of the fullness that they have without listening. That's how we know we're meeting Jesus. Let's bow in prayer. Our God in heaven, thank you so much for the book of Revelation, for John's service to you to write it down in a book. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for communicating with John so very clearly and wonderfully on a desolate, hard place in his life. That gives us hope. Give everyone here hope, encouragement, sensitivity to your spirit in all of their bad days. I pray that everyone here will meet you, Lord Jesus, and rejoice in who you are. And for anyone who has never met you, for that one who is not even looking, not even desiring a meeting with you at all, I pray that you'll break through that stubbornness and you meet with that person today. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.